The readings this morning are from Romans 12:11. It's on page 1139 of the Church Bibles, and from Revelation 3:14-22. Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord. Revelation 3:14-22. For the church in Laodicea. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, but you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
This is the first time that George has spoken to us. I thought, George is our youth minister, if you're visiting us today, or it's your first time here. And you can tell I'm the vicar, and he's the youth minister. I think I need to get a clerical shirt like that, actually. I really do.
I think so.
I like that. You're Father, I just thank you for George. Thanks so much for his ministry already to us in this church. And thank you for who he is, Lord, we pray. You'd speak to us, stir us up this morning. Holy Spirit, come among us, we pray. And we take to our hearts your word this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amazing. A few years ago, I was standing at a bus stop early on a Sunday morning, waiting for my bus to get me to church. And I saw somebody that I kind of recognized, this guy around my age, and I knew that I knew him, had no idea where I knew him from. But, you know, I said, hello, how are you? And, you know, we were having, you know, the beginnings of a chat. And then he just poses to me the most bizarre question I think I've ever heard, you know, anyone asked me. And he said, so, are you still a virgin? And I thought, what? Why would you? I don't even know who you. I don't really know who you are. I don't know where I know you from. Why are you asking me? Are you still a virgin? So I thought, okay, maybe this is a great opportunity for me to be able to share the gospel. So I said, well, yes. And then I lectured him. I lectured him about sexual ethics for about half an hour. And I just, you know, told him, you know, I believe that, you know, the best place for sex is in marriage and you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just went off on one for absolutely ages with this poor guy. And he looked at me the whole time like, oh, you know, you're a bit weird. And I was just like, it's okay, you know, it's the gospel, it's fine. So I went off on one. The reality is I wasn't preaching the gospel. I just went off on the guy. Just, you know. But then I got to church and I was thinking about it, you know, in the sermon. I wasn't listening. I was thinking about, well, you know, please listen. I was thinking about it and it suddenly hit me where I knew this guy from. We went to the same gym. It's called Virgin Active. And he was asking me, are you still at Virgin? Are you still at Virgin? And I went off on one, and this poor man must have thought I was absolutely insane. He must have thought I'd lost the plot, you know, that I was completely, you know, ridiculous. He's asking me, do you still go to the gym? And I say, well, no, because I believe that the best place for sex is marriage. The reading today, The reading today was, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And I can say, reflecting back, when I realized, I was so embarrassed. But looking back, I can go, do you know, I definitely had some fervor there. I definitely had some zeal. It just blew up in my face, you know. Thankfully, I've never seen him again. And I pray, Lord, may I never see him again. I don't know how I'd... Anyway. It's okay for things to blow up in our face. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail in worldly terms. As long as we're giving it a go. And so for me, you know, in that sense, I very much in worldly terms failed. You know, I did something quite ridiculous. I tend to do ridiculous things. But I think God was cool with it. I think God was okay with it because I tried to step out. I tried to respond faithfully. And I did, you know, I did have that fervor and I did have that zeal and I'm cool with it. I think as long as we are trying to be all about Jesus in every sphere of our life, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that sometimes we trip up and do silly things. We just give it a go. Not every time we pray for healing will someone be healed. But we still pray for healing. You know, we just give it a go. We give it a go. That's all he asks from us, to give it a go. To put him first, to prioritize him. So I'd love to just deconstruct this verse from Romans just a little bit. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I looked it up and there's a few words in there that I looked in the Greek and they've just got some maybe slightly better root meanings for the word. The first one is zeal, which the Greek word is spoude, but actually better translated as diligence, better translated as persistent work, being persistent, you know, and careful, but going again and again and again. There's a call there, you know, never be lacking in persistency, never be lacking in diligence, never be lacking in giving it a good go. I think it's so important. And sometimes zeal, we take it as, you know, this, you know, I have a zeal. But actually, it's more than that. It's far more. It is diligence. It's diligence. And then keep your spiritual fervor. Now, this word being fervent, you know, fervor, in Greek, this is the one that really excited me because I looked it up and the word is zeontes, which, you know, actually means boiling. It means boiling. And the image that one commentary uses is of a pot that, you know, when you're boiling pasta, right? Or when you're boiling any food, you know, and you know, it's the heat is hot and it starts to bubble, you know, and, you know, it begins by simmering, then it bubbles, then it gets kind of that frothy, and then it just spills over from the pot. And that's usually the moment where you're kind of running around trying to stop it from happening. But actually, it's a good image. It's a good image in this. You know, when he's asking us to keep our spiritual fervor, he's actually saying, boil over in the spirit. Boil over in the spirit. Let, you know, be so hot. Let there be so much heat in your life that it can't stay in the pot, that you can't contain it, that it is boiling out, that it's overflowing. I love it. And I just, you know, to look at that image. And the other one is the word, you know, serve the Lord. And whenever in the Bible it talks about serving the Lord, I used to get images of kind of almost like working in a factory. And God is like, you know, the boss of the factory. And I'm sitting there and I'm kind of manufacturing things on the belt. And, you know, I'm being ordered around by people and I'm just having to, you know, I don't know, do some little thing that doesn't matter. But actually, the word here is douleontes, but doula is the root word of servant. And actually, it's that servant that's always next to the master. It's that servant that's next to him. It's the PA. You know, it's the one that follows him around and does what he does. It's the one that follows him around and gets to partner with him in everything that he does. I just love it. And it's just like, you know, fundamentally what this verse is saying is be persistent and hardworking, overflow in the spirit, and follow God around and do what he does. I think that is like the gospel in a verse almost. It's like it's our job. It's the job of every person. It's our discipleship in one verse of the Bible. And it's flipping exciting. It's so good. It's so good. Be persistent. Give it a go. Be diligent. Go at it again and again and again. Even when you mess up, try again. Be overflowing in the Spirit. And do what he does. Be his PA. Partner with him. Follow him around. So exciting, so exciting. But there's another place where Zeontes, or at least the root of Zeontes, shows up in the Bible, and that's Revelation 3:16. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. I think sometimes in my walk with God, I've approached Christianity, I've approached following Jesus like a lifestyle choice, like a cultural thing that I take on. Like, you know, so I don't know if you know about me, I generally try and eat low carb, you know, like it's just part, you know, it's my thing, you know, I'm a you know, millennial and you know, I'm this generation, so I eat low carb, it's great. Lots of people, you know, choose to eat gluten-free, you know, they don't have celiac disease, but they choose to eat gluten-free. Or practice mindfulness, or, you know, or, and I guess like the challenge for me is quite Jesus, following Jesus, being a Christian is not like opting to be gluten-free or opting to be low carb or opting to practice mindfulness. It's not a cultural lifestyle choice that we do. It's much deeper. It's much more than that. I think the challenge for us this morning is to begin to look at it and go, if there's a call here in Romans 12 to be hot, to be boiling, to be overflowing from the boiling, and there's a call here in Revelations to either be hot or cold and not lukewarm, then there's a challenge for us today of just kind of saying, let's heat up. Let's heat up, you know. Following Christ isn't a lifestyle choice. It's a revolutionary cause to overthrow the way that the world works today and replace it with the kingdom of God. That's the reality. I mean, if we look at the reason that we have faith eschatologically, from you know, beginning to end, the reason that we're here, the reason that the church exists, is we are a revolutionary force for change in the world. Particularly when we look at the book of Revelations and we look at where we're heading to the overthrow of Babylon and to kingdom come in glory, and to know that it's our job to be his PAs as he does it, that's exciting. We've got to be hot. It's got to be what we're all about. It's got to be our everything. We've got to be hot on this. This is a revolution that we get to be part of. I say this to young people a lot, and they're just like, yeah, you know, they're up for that. Young people like that. But I think, you know, us adults, we've got to be like that too. We prioritize our jobs, don't we? You know, we become accountants, or we become youth ministers, or we become you know people who work in social services, or people who, you know, who knows what, you know, you all have your jobs, but it becomes our identity. And actually, what I want to say this morning is that is not your identity. That's your tent making. What you are is a minister in God's kingdom. What you are is Christ's PA. Your job is to usher in a political, social revolution to see the kingdom of God come in fullness. That's what you are. You are an agent of change in the world. That is your identity. You are sons of God. You are the bride of Christ. And we've got to be hot. We've got to be hot. The amount that Jesus talks about the kingdom of God is insane. I think sometimes we've reduced Christianity to something like mindfulness or something that we just do on a Sunday because it's where all our friends are. But I just want to go through a few verses. I mean, in Matthew, Jesus says, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." He also says, "Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." And he said to them, "Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God has come with power." In Mark, he says, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Mark, he carries on and says, "Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." In Luke, It says, and he sent them out, you know, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. But the crowds learnt about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Jesus replied, no one puts the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Romans says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In Corinthians, Paul writes, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. This is a huge theme. And it's one that I think sometimes in our daily lives we forget. That we are agents of a kingdom, ushering it in, bringing it about, bringing the dominion of God into the earth, being gates for the King of Glory. See, being a Christian and following Jesus are different things. Because you can be a lukewarm Christian. You can be a lukewarm Christian. That's there. I think there are lots of lukewarm Christians. But you can't follow Jesus without being hot. Because if you follow Jesus, you do what he does. You see, I think I just want to make the distinction between a Christian who, you know, and someone who's just a Christian, who kind of, you know, has kind of comes to church on a Sunday and tries to be a really nice person and tries to be good and behaves themselves. And someone who follows Jesus. I mean, they call themselves a Christian too, but they're actually a follower of Jesus who opens the Gospels, sees what he does, goes, I'm his PA, I'm his servant, I'm his assistant, I'm going to do this stuff, I'm going to heal the sick, I'm going to raise the dead, I'm going to get demons to flee, I'm going to be an agent for change in the kingdom. Wherever there's poverty, I want to see it ended. Wherever there's an injustice, I want to see it completely demolished. Wherever the kingdom of God isn't, I want to see it come in. That's what it means to follow Jesus. And you cannot follow Jesus and be lukewarm. You cannot follow Jesus and be cold. You have to be hot. And so I guess my challenge today is, are we Christians or are we Jesus followers? Are we cultural Christians? Or have we taken on the mantle to see the kingdom of God come? And that looks like, you know, different things for different people. But are we hot? To follow Jesus means to take up our crosses and follow him. There's a cost. There isn't a cost in being a lukewarm Christian other than an hour on a Sunday. But to be a Jesus follower, it costs everything because you've got to take up your cross and follow him. Revelation 3:17 says, for you say, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe you, and to keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. I'm preaching to myself. We've got to reassess our priorities as people following Jesus. We've got to. I think there's a clear challenge there. For some of us, you know, our aims in life is to, you know, be well off, you know, have the latest things and go on nice holidays and have a good time and you know, to have nice clothes and to not need anything. But there's a different standard set in the kingdom of God as to what a good life is. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you gold refined by fire. He says, buy from me gold refined by fire. Because there's a cost to us. Because when we reassess our lifestyles, sometimes that means that our lifestyles have to change. And sometimes that means we have to give up some stuff. Buy from me gold refined by fire. There's a cost to being hot. It carries on and says, listen, I'm standing at the door, knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place on me with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. See, in order to become hot, we've got to spend time in the fire. And I love the fact that in the context of this, you know, what looks like quite a damning kind of, you know, passage of scripture, he finishes it with the resolution, the problem. He says, I'm standing at your door, I'm knocking. Hello, Gracie. Sorry, I just had a wave from Gracie. Standing at the door and knocking. If you open the door, I will come in and I'll sit with you. The answer to being hot is spending time in the fire. Is spending time with Jesus. And when I say let's reassess our priorities, I believe the answer to all of our priorities is a Holy Spirit thing. It's something that he does. It's not, you know, it's not something that we do, but actually the more we give of our time and energy to just being with the Master, the more we just end up doing what he does, because you can't be with someone without doing what he does. You can't be with someone without doing what he does. He invites us to have dinner with him, and that's how he makes us hot. This isn't about self-righteous holiness, which I used to think it was. This isn't about morality. I'm not talking about morality. I'm talking about complacency. Because we can have issues with our morality, and he can fix those. But if we are being complacent and not letting him in, we can't do anything. We've got to let him in. We've got to let him in. We've got to let him in. So my challenge this morning is to say that, A, each and every one of you, there is a call on your life. There is a call on your life to change the world. I'm a millennial. We've been brought up to believe that not only can we, but that we will change the world. You know, that's the message that we've been given from our time in primary school. And it's one that, you know, the Telegraph loves to criticize. But actually, it's a good one. It's a good one. It's a Christian value. Not only can I, but I will change the world. But that is the call for the church. Not only can you, but you will change the world. In fact, the world isn't going to change. It's not going to be redeemed. The earth will not be redeemed without you. Because God has chosen to partner with you. He's chosen you. I'm talking to individuals and to the collective. He's chosen you as his PA. In Romans 8, sorry, I'm just going to grab my Bible. I feel called to read this verse out. Just to be a little bit spontaneous. In Romans 8, I read this verse in the evening service last week, but I just feel that this is relevant today. Romans 8, 18 onwards says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God." The world is in a bondage to decay. And God has chosen to partner with us as the liberators of the world, as the people who see it set free. Now, in order to get to that place, we've got to spend time in the fire. We've got to spend time in the fire. So I think there's a call this morning on every single one of us, if you so choose to take this up, to say maybe I've been getting colder. Maybe my lifestyle has gotten a little bit, you know, less all about Jesus. But I want to be his agent of redemption in the world. I think it takes bravery. I think it takes courage to be able to say, I want to be hot. I want to be set on fire. So actually, I want to respond together in a courageous way. If you feel like you need to spend time in the fire, if you feel like you, yes, I want to take on this mantle. I want to take on this challenge, but I've gotten a bit colder. I've gotten a bit lukewarm. And you want to get hot this morning. I'm standing up as well because I need it. But if you'd like to join me in asking God to, you know, for that heat, could I ask you to just stand with me now? Amazing. If you can't stand, it's okay. You can just, you know, wave at me. I'm just going to pray. Holy Spirit, it's you that heats us up. And we just acknowledge right now that this is not something we can achieve ourselves. And we just acknowledge that this is only something that an encounter with you will bring about. So Jesus, we hear you knocking at the door and we just say, we're opening up for you. We're opening up for you, Jesus. Would you come in? Would you sit and eat with us? And would you set us on fire? And Father, I repent and we repent of letting the world turn us cold. Would you heat us up? Would you make us hot for you? God, that we would be your agents of redemption. Holy Spirit, come.